Hey, today's Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost, Penti, 50 in Greek, and 50 days since Jesus rose from the dead. And what happened on Pentecost Sunday? Fire, yeah, tongues of fire. And as Greg said in the first service, you know, that was the day God started the church and he added 3,000 people to the church in one day. I believe in suddenlies, don't you? Hey, God, add 3,000 people to our church. Make it a nightmare of a problem. And but, you know, tongues of fire, I think it might have sounded like this. Thanks, Jared. Did anybody recognize some languages in there? What? Shout it out. Maori, yeah. Telugu, yep. Hindi, yep. Yep. Chinese, yep. You recognize that? Yep. Hey? Urdu, yeah. Swahili, yep. Hey? Korean? Arabic. What else? Bangla. Bangla. Yeah. Wow. Amazing, eh? You know, God can understand all that. He's hearing all that. This is kind of how it's coming to him when he's hearing our prayers. Just sounds like that. And Acts 2. People were speaking and they heard their language being spoken by people who didn't know their own language. There were people from every tribe and nation all together in Jerusalem worshiping, and they were hearing all these things spoken out by people and who were speaking in tongues. Amazing, isn't it? And Greg put that that DVD together and took him a few hours, so we really appreciate him doing that. But it comes, the reading comes from what they were speaking out comes from this passage here in John 14. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but what the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Yeah, great passage, eh? I don't know whether you're into movies or anything, but one of a one of the big actors at the moment is Denzel Washington. Anybody seen Denzel Washington movie? So that's him there. It's out of my photograph album. No, Judy has a photo of him in our dressing room, you know, at home. You know. I just tore it down and took a photo of it. Yeah, he's the man. And I read an interview that had been done with Denzel Washington a while ago. And Washington he was talking about his dad, his father. And apparently his father was a Christian minister. And he described his father, he said he's a decent man. He said he's a spiritual man, a gentle man. But at the age of 14, his parents divorced. So he had a bit of a difficult relationship with his dad. And this is how he described his relationship. He said, I didn't see him much. The things I did, like sports and things, he wasn't really, I guess, being a spiritual man or just because he had so much work to do, I didn't see him. Once my parents were separated, I was in school, so 70% of the year I was away. And in the summer, I was looking to track him down, and I was ready to hit the streets. So you kind of fade. Not that I didn't love him like Dad, but we didn't play ball and those types of things. And the next thing you know, you're at college. And he went on in the article, in the interview, and he said that years later, he flew to New York to do a film project, and he got off the plane and was going through the baggage hall, and he bumped into his brother. He met his brother, and he thought, oh, no, what's going on? And he said, the first thing I thought was Mum had died. And he said, and his brother said to him, Dad had a stroke. And Washington went on and said, that was April of 91, and he died in August. And we started shooting around that time that he died. And he said, I never shed a tear for my father. It sounds like a book or a song. I never did all that funeral stuff and all that. And then I think he went on to try and sum up how he saw the relationship. He said, there was no connection. There was no connection. There was no connection. You know, I was reading that article and I thought, you know, I think that's like that for a lot of people when it comes to their fathers. There's no connection. There was just no connection. Sure, he was his father, but somehow he just couldn't get connected with his dad, with his father. And let me ask you this question this morning. How connected are you or were you with your dad? What sort of connection did you have with your father? If he's still alive, my dad's dead, but some of you, your father is still alive. What sort of connection do you have with him or did you have with him? Think about it. You know, did you have no connection at all? My mother was adopted. She never knew her dad. She had no connection with her father. And for some people, that's what it's like. Or maybe you struggled to connect with him. He was there, but you were struggling to connect with him. For some, there was a little connection, but you just weren't as connected as you like to have been. For others, you know, great, man, we're really connected. Yeah, we had good relationship. How connected were you? Let me ask you another question. How connected are you to Father God? How connected are you to God the Father? We looked at him last week and saw the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God as a Father. How connected would you be? Where would you rate yourself? You know, for some people, there's no connection. Just not connected with them, you know. Others, you may be struggling to connect with them. For others, there's a very little connection. For some, you're not as connected as you'd like to be. Others, man, we're just so connected. Me and God the Father, wow, we're just like that. Glue. So where would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 8? Were you totally disconnected or wholly connected? Where would you put yourself? Are you an 8 or a 1? 7 or 6, 5, 4, 3, 2? Where would you put yourself? I'm not going to ask you. Where did you put yourself? Someone who was a close disciple of Jesus, a guy called Philip, hung around Jesus for about 3 years of being with him. He was somebody who struggled in that whole connection with the Father bit, you know? He somehow felt disconnected from God the Father, you know? And we heard it in that reading I just read out. When he said, Lord, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Can you hear what Philip's saying? There's a sense of dissatisfaction in Philip. He was looking for something to satisfy him. There was a sense that he was missing something. And he's saying to Jesus, you know, show us the Father, then I will be satisfied, because at the moment I'm feeling dissatisfied. Maybe you can relate to Philip's cry this morning. Just not satisfied. Maybe there's a little bit of dissatisfaction in you, you know, that you're not satisfied with where you're at when it comes to maybe your faith, your relationship with God, or that you're feeling there's something more. It was a little bit like that with Philip. There's something more. I'm just not satisfied. It's like, you know, I just get a bit of it, but not all of it. Some people, you know, can't quantify it. Sometimes you go to look, you know, to church and you're looking for something more and you get involved and you're still left with that feeling, there's something more. I'm just not satisfied. Some people have a great knowledge of the Bible. You know, they know all the scriptures. They know all the stories. They can talk theology. But there's something that they're just not satisfied with. There's this dissatisfaction in them. There's something just going on, simmering at the surface of things. They have a Moorishness that's never satisfied. You can write that word down, Moorishness. I just made it up. Put it in the dictionary now, you know. You know, some people have tried, like Philip, you know, they've walked with Jesus, but there's something missing. Really? How can you say that? Oh, I just did. Yeah, it's easy. Hey, what with Jesus? Something's missing. As if Jesus isn't enough. How could Philip say that?
Most of us think, man, if I spent 3 years with Jesus, I'd have it all sorted.
But here he is, Philip. We're just not satisfied. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You know, I think that's a cry of a lot of people's hearts. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. I need something more. If I can only see the Father and be satisfied. I think there is a Father longing in everybody's heart. You see, I think that's how God wired us. When he was soldering, you know, the little parts of our life together, he put a desire and a hunger in us to know our Father's. And I think we're living in an age where fatherhood is so frowned upon and it's been destroyed. You know, that I was reading some of the paper the other day of two women only wanting their name to be on the birth certificate of their child. Why? Because we don't want fathers around. It's under attack, but I believe God has created fathers for a reason. Because it's a picture of who he is. He's a father. And it's been attacked, it's been maligned, it's been destroyed. Why? Because I think God's doing something in this whole area. And when God starts pushing into an area, I think we see the devil heat up and he tries to counteract it and to destroy it in whatever way he can. We're seeing that happen right now. I hadn't planned to say that, but anyway, that's just on my heart. I was reading an article in the paper yesterday. Anybody read The Herald? One person, that's okay. It's no plug for the Herald, you know. And it was an article about the legendary Kiwi guitarist Peter Posser. Poser. Posser. No, that school I went to, it was Poser. Yeah, he's a poser. Yeah. I was never around in the 60s, so you're showing your age there. It's good to... I'm such a young person. I was born much later than that. So he was around in the 60s, way before I was ever on the scene. And he was a legendary guitarist, this poser guy, and Posser. or whatever you call them. And he made an album. He made 20 LPs over in the 60s, and 200 copies as White Rabbit sold. 200,000 copies. That's pretty big for the 60s. He was getting 500 fan mails letters a week. 2013, they released an album that had brought all his stuff together in 2013. Peter Posser and Poser, or whatever his name is. Anyway, you know his name, you know, if you're around in the 60s, that is. But and it was the biggest selling album for the year. It beat Lord's Pure Heroine. Amazing, isn't it? And a big Kiwi artist. And at the height of his fame, heyday, his life unraveled. It was a mess. He was drinking heavily. He was struggling with nervous exhaustion. And Peter Pastor tried to commit suicide. He got in his Vauxhall Viva car, as you do, and he was screaming down the roads around Henderson, and he thought, I'm going to end it. And he crashed his car, tried to kill himself, but he luckily survived. And the interviewer said to him, you know, were you a happy kid? And he said, no. No, I wasn't. And you kind of think, well, what was the problem? And it seems like they just straight on, after this, they said, he said, my father was so strict that he was almost a tyrant. And the way it's kind of written, you'd think, this is why he wasn't happy, because his father was a tyrant. And no love, he said. I craved it. I just craved for him to put his arm around me and say he loved me or something. But I never got any of that. Did you? I think there's a father vacuum in every one of us. God has wired us to connect with fathers. And you can rub the name father out from birth certificates, but you'll never rub it out from your heart. There's a father longing in each one of us. God's put it there. He's created the universe that we all have fathers for a reason, because fathers show us who we are. Fathers give us our identity. Fathers input into our lives. Fathers show us what love is. But the tragedy is, lots of fathers don't. This is why it's so important that we know the true Father. God, the Father. I believe that the hunger that we have, that part of us that hungers to be connected with Father, can only be found when we're connected with God the Father. And He wants you to be connected with Him. He wants you so desperately to be connected with Him as a father. The Bible shows us that God loves us as a father, and He wants you to live in that love, to not just to experience once, but to experience His Father's love every day. St. Augustine, you know, if you've read theology, you'll know this guy. He lived around about 356 BC. Anybody alive? AD, you know. He wrote a lot of theological stuff that we still hold on to today. He was a founding father of theology. And he said this, if the written word of the Bible could be changed into a single word and become one single voice, the voice more powerful than the roaring of the sea would cry out, the Father loves you. This guy would have minced you when it came to theology. He would have been one of these guys there would have been hundreds of YouTube clips about. You know, he would have been, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, amazing. And he summed it up. If I could write it out, shout it out, this is what I'd say. The Father loves you. Do you know that? Have you experienced it? Are you living in it? Can you say without a doubt, the Father loves me? I know it today when I got up. just thinking when I got up, I was grumpy because we had a power failure. Had my underpants on, back to front, my shoes on the wrong feet, my pants around the wrong way. So I had to get dressed in the dark. But God still loves me. I don't even know what I'm saying now, Anna. You know, some people find it hard to connect with God the Father. We can spend hours trying to diagnose the problem. We can say, you know, maybe it was because you had a bad relationship with your dad, and that's been a blockage to your father, and, you know, it could be. And I know lots of Christians, they struggle to know God as a father. And as I said, you know, one of the reasons is their own earthly father. It's just messed that up. And you think, well, how can I? I want to talk about one simple way. And I think it's a neglected way. It's an often forgotten way. It's such a simple way. And I think it's the starting point of a journey to the Father's heart. We have to get this part right. This is so important. And this is what the Christian faith is all about. How do we connect with the Father? How can I know God as a father? The best way, I think, is become a son. Become a daughter. Become his child. In fact, I think this is the only way. This is the only way you could ever know God as a father, is to become a son or a daughter of God. There is no other way. You can go to study theology, go to Bible college, you could get every program under the sun and look at those things, but if you don't become his son, his daughter, you will never know the Father. Obviously, as some of you know, I'm a father. Yeah, I am. I got three kids. Two of them are here, and one's away. They only know me as a father. You know me as Glenn. You can't say, hey, there's my father. Why? Because you're not my son. You're not my daughters. They can only call me father because they're sons and daughters. They're in my family. And it's the same when it comes to knowing God as father. You need to become his son, his daughter. Are you? Are you? Do you know without a doubt that you are? And this is what the Christian faith is all about. This is why Jesus came. He came to show us how to connect with the Father. He came to show us the Father, his Father. He showed us that the only way to do that was to live as a son. That's how he lived. And that should be the position that you're living from, as a son, as a daughter. And this is what I believe God's calling us to. This is what I believe how he wants us to live, as his sons, as his daughters. And as you do, I think you'll feel connected with him in ways that you've never been, that you'll discover, you experience more of God's heart, his Father's heart, which is a heart of love. And that sonship is such an important picture in the Bible. It's woven right through it. The way to the Father's heart is found through sonship. And I'm using the word in a non-gender way. Please don't get upset if you think, oh, well, he's just talking about boys, because I think it's a spiritual principle of sonship. I will try to accommodate for all people from all sexes by saying daughters and sons or children of God. But if I'm just on sonship, please don't get upset and lose me on it. It's such an important principle that comes through in the scriptures. We're living as sons and daughters of God. And we understand our identity as children of God. We'll enter into the Father's love in a life-changing, life-revealing way. And you know, we can't really know the Father unless we have the son, heart of a son or a daughter. Classic book that a wonderful Christian guy wrote way back, J.I. Packer, it's called Knowing God. And in the book, he asks this question. He says, what is a Christian? How would you sum it up, you know? Christian. What is a Christian? Well, somebody goes to church, somebody that tithes, somebody that does this, somebody that does that. This is how he sums it up. He says, the question can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is someone who has God for his Father. Would you sum it up like that? Would you say, hey, man, I'm a Christian? And they say, well, how do you? Well, what does that mean? I know God as a Father. That's it. That sums it up. I know God as a Father. Do you know him as a Father, or are you feeling disconnected from him? You know, you really struggle with your own earthly father and it seems to get in the way of you viewing God as a Father. God wants to do some surgery on that if that's the case. You know him as a Father. You see, the idea of fatherhood, of sonship, sorry, is woven into the scriptures, as I said, you know. If you look at the Bible, you see that it's bookends of both ends of the Bible, the beginning of the Bible. God created Adam, and the Bible tells us in the wonderful genealogies that Adam was the son of God. Do you know that? Well, really? Yeah. He was the son of God. And then you read through the Bible, you'll see different things that are going on. And Adam, he created, had that intimate relationship with God and close connection with him, was broken when he sinned. Israel came onto the scene. Israel was called God's firstborn son. And then we see the covenant that David had was cast in father-son terms. Christians are called children of God, adopted sons, same designation. And the scripture brings the scriptures to a triumphant end in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, one of the last chapters, 21 verse 7. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And last week we saw Jesus, the Son of God, second person in the Trinity, came to reestablish that connection with God the Father. That's why he came to earth. And this is what sonship is. It's sons living in relationship with their father, daughters living in relationship with their father. Sonship is discovered in family. And that's why I love the word family for being a description of the church. People say it's community. I think that's only getting half of the way. You're missing something. Our relationships with one another are cast in terms of family relationship, brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is a bit syrupy? Yeah, it is. But it's the way it is. And those relationships are meant to be relationships of love and of honoring one another. You know the commandment that kids should honor their parents? And I think honor is an important characteristic in the life of the family. But tragically, you go to churches, man, they cut one another down. They slice one another up. They're nasty places. Why? Because they're communities, not family. We discover what family is, allow the Spirit to mold us into a family. And it's built on that whole picture of the Trinity, tri-unity, that there'd be unity in the family. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what ethnicity you are, that you're one in Christ Jesus, one family together. Built on love. A reflection of the Father that's in us. Didn't plan to say that either, but I think it's so important, living in relationship with the Father. You know, when we live as sons, we experience the Father's love, you know. God wants you to live as a son. You know that parable, the parable of the prodigal son? I think we touched on it in our worship, you know. The parable of the prodigal son. I hate that name. People think it's a parable about salvation. I don't think so. It's a parable about sonship. It's a parable about two boys, two sons that lived in a relationship with their father. It's right there. It's staring us in the face. We thought, oh, this is just a boy that went away and he came back into God, into relationship with him. It's a picture of sonship. This is how it is with God. You know, and one of the sons, he discovered truly what a son is. He came and back home to his father's place, and what he did, the father just loved him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him, you know, a big on the lips, you know, and said, this is my son, he's home. And the son received a blessing, an inheritance of sonship, you know. And then there was the older brother, man, he was sitting outside thinking, man, they were having a party, throwing in his honor, his brother's honor. He said, I'm not going in. I'm not going into that. Oh, blam, man. He was bitter. He was twisted. He wouldn't go into the party. He was angry at his father. Why? Because he wasn't living as a son. And I think it's a picture of Christians. You know, some of them discover what fatherhood is and how to live as a son. But so many of them aren't. You know, they're living outside of the family. You know, they're living on the edge. They just can't get connected. They won't go to the party. I think that the Christian life should be a party. I mean, we end up being all solemn and somber and bitter and get hurt by one another because we're not living as sons. I'm not going in there. This brother of mine, what sort of father is that? Here I've been working and struggling, doing all this stuff, and we're groaning and moaning about the father. Why? Because we're not living as sons. We never discovered sonship. Such an important principle. When we live as sons, only then we can experience the father's love. When we don't, we'll live like the older brother in the story. We'll find it hard to connect with the father. Are you living as a son? Jack Frost, I love the name, and wrote a book called Spiritual Slavery to Sonship. He gave the superb definition of sonship. He said, sonship is a heart that feels and rests and secure in God's love. Are you resting secure in his love? It believes it belongs. Do you believe you really belong to the father? Or you kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, like the older brother. It's free from shame and self-condemnation. I don't know how many people, you know, God's been dealing big time shame in my life as I've been journeying on this whole thing of sonship. So many people out there are racked by shame and they don't realize it. I don't realize it until God starts showing me. Ooh. Shame. But a son doesn't have shame. Self-condemnation, it walks in honor towards all people. It's willing to humble itself before man and God. It's subject to God's mission to experience his love and to give it away. That's all mission is. I've experienced the love of God and I want to give it away. It's not a job. Oh, well, I'm going to go there and make Jesus known. Nah. Oh, I've experienced God's incredible love. I can't hold me back. I'll tell you about it. That's what witness is. Sonship involves establishing our identity as a child of God, nothing more, nothing less. And Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we're children of God. You know, I was thinking about this as I've been working through this this week. I thought, you know, the amazing thing is, it's really hit me. No one ever taught me how to live as a son. Has anybody ever taught you how to live as a son? I've been taught how to live as a Christian. Man, I went to Bible college. They teach you how to live as a Christian. No one ever taught me how to live as a son. I think this is so important. This is a tragedy in the church, you know. I think this should be discipleship 101. Hey, I want to show you and I want to help you live as a son. We give people a whole lot of stuff, you know. We send them off to Bible college tomorrow. I want to be a pastor. And what do they learn there? Theology, study how to be a leader, how to do this, how to do that. And they don't have sonship 101. I think it should be the most important thing Why? Because that's what the Bible is about. That's how Jesus lived. He lived as a son. That's how Jesus ministered. God's been speaking to me big time on it. You know, when it comes to ministry, those that are involved in ministry, it's not doing it as a servant. It's not doing it as a Christian. It's doing it as a son. You say, what do you mean by that? That's how Jesus ministered. He ministered as a son. And we send people off to pastor school, and what do? We teach them how to be a pastor. We never teach them how to be a son. We say we want to make passionate followers of Jesus, but we don't teach people how to live as sons. Incidentally, I don't think we should be following Jesus. I believe that we should have Jesus in our heart. And when he's in our heart, when he's living in us, we'll be walking in the way that Jesus walked. That's the scriptural principle. I'm going way off notes here. It's sonship. It's sonship. You've been waiting a long time for that, haven't you? It's got to be sonship. That's how Jesus lived. Discipleship 101. Show me how to be a son. God's been kind of bringing me right back and saying, this is where I'm positioning you. And I sense there is a repositioning going on in his church at the moment. And he's bringing unprecedented vision and understanding of fatherhood. And it begins with sonship. We've run down all these tracks and we've had seminar after seminar and we're seminared out. And we've missed it. You live as a son. Are you living as a son? The only way you live in the inheritance of God is when you live as a son. He's calling you to sonship this morning. And back to the text. I don't know why, but anyway, If we put this text in context, Jesus is telling the disciples, man, I'm going away. And they probably started hearing that and they're probably feeling a bit of separation anxiety, thinking, ooh, you know, and I could imagine Thomas looking at James thinking, you know, did you know he's going away? No, I didn't know that. Well, somebody's got to ask it. I'll ask the question. So Thomas pipes up and he said, you know, Lord, if you're going away, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him that wonderful verse we all know, you know, his memory verses, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hear it? No one comes to the Father except through me. Derek Prince made an interesting call on this passage here. He said this verse speaks about, and I picked up on it at the beginning, a pathway and a destination. Jesus is the way, the Father is the destination. Do you hear that? Jesus, the Son, is the way. The Father is the destination. And then he made this observation. He said, the problem is with most of the church today is that we get stuck on the way. We get stuck on the way. We never get to the destination. Connected to the Father. He wants you to be his son. It's the only way. An intimate relationship with the Father that would live as his sons and his daughters. And I think the disciples are kind of confused. What? What on earth are you going on about? There's 3 years with Jesus and they hadn't really understood who he was. Philip plucks up the courage, comes in with that question. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. And Jesus replied, oh man, I can imagine him rolling his eyes going, oh, have I been with you all this time, Philip? You don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? You see, can you feel, can you hear what's happening here? Haven't you really seen me? You know, we can hang around Jesus for so long and miss the destination. Well, who are you? I'm a son. I'm a son who is a reflection of my Father. used to hate that when people came up and said,
"Well, you just look like your dad."
But sons do. They're a reflection of their father. And that's what Jesus was talking about. And if you're a son of God, if you're a son, if you're his daughter, you'll reflect your father. So how? Read on in the passage. He's giving you the Spirit. And the Spirit isn't in there so you have good times, get slain and shake. It's so that you reflect your Father. That's what it's about. Always has been. Show us the Father. Yeah, well, look at me. I'm a reflection of my Father. He is the image, exact representation of Father God. You know, it probably disturbed Jesus. He poured his life into these guys for 3 years. They'd never got it. I've come to show you the Father. A lot of people get on the way, but they miss the destination. Do you know him as a father? He wants you to know him as a father. And he's calling you to sonship. And that you live as a son, as a daughter, as a child of God. And he's calling you to that today. Or maybe you're like Philip. You're looking for something more. You're looking to be satisfied. You want to know more. I think God's saying to you, I want you to know me as a father. So, well, how can I do that? God's calling people into relationship with him. You say, well, how can I do that? Stand in the position of a son and of a daughter. And when you get into that position, God is going to open up revelations, fresh revelations of his Father's heart for you. But I sense this morning, he's saying, I want you to position yourself as a son, as a daughter. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. You know, I read that verse, and we see that the revelation, this only comes through revelation from Jesus. You can study it until forever, but it only comes through revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we need to say, God, bring that revelation. But there's an amazing principle for ministry in that passage, if you only realized it. The only way you can show somebody the Father is to be a son. That's discipleship 101. That's pastoral ministry 101. The only way you can show people this stuff is to live as a son. So often missing, I'm saying, God, I missed this. How did I miss this one? Well, I'm a slow learner. And it starts by becoming a son and daughter. You say, well, how can you become a son or daughter of God? Well, there's a wonderful passage so often used and talked about. You probably know it, or maybe you don't. But in John 1, verse 12, Jesus said these words. He said, and I believe this is an invitation for us this morning. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Actually, the word means power. The legal right to become a child of God. And it involves two things. Believing in him and receiving him. Believing in him and receiving him. And it's such an important verse. Receive simply means welcoming him into your life. And believe simply means believing in who he is and what he's done for you on the cross. But we can't just stop there and saying, I believe and I receive. Because God, Jesus went on and he said that who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or of man, but of God. See, that's your part is to believe and to receive. God's part is to give you his Spirit. That you would be born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus talks about that in John 3, verse 3. If you're not born again, you'll never, ever see this. You'll never see the kingdom. I don't think you'll ever enter into a relationship with God. Why? Because when you're born again, what happens? You enter into his family and he becomes your father. anybody. When our kids were born, what? They weren't born into the next door neighbor's family. They were born into ours. Simple principle. Have you been born again? You say, well, how do I know? Your spirit will witness with the Holy Spirit that's in you that you are a child of God. Maybe saying, I haven't got that witness. Then God's calling you. Let me breathe my spirit into you. Let me fill you with my spirit. I want you to be born again. Come into my family. And for others here, you've, yeah. 1972 at a Christian camp in Narawahia, I gave my heart to Jesus. Not me, but, you know. And I was born again. But I mean, struggling in this Christian faith, haven't really got it. There's been things that annoy me, so I'm just dissatisfied. Live as a son. That was the one place you needed to start from. Oh, I missed it. God's bringing you back and repositioning you and saying, sonship, 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 sonship. It's all the way. I want to open up and my heart, my Father's heart, and show you that He's calling. And I believe He's calling people. I just believe that He's wanting to touch and to anoint people, to touch people with His Spirit, to fill people, release people in the Spirit. For some, it'll be being born again of the Spirit of God. And if there's a witness within you, something stirring, I just invite you to come down the front. We're just going to pray. I just sense that God is wanting to refresh and to renew, reposition some back into that position of sonship. That you'd open up your heart, say, God, bring a revelation of this. I've been trying to figure it out for myself. I've been at thousands of courses, never got it. It'll never happen unless there's a revelation. And the Son brings revelation of the Father's heart. And He's bringing that now. You like to stand with me now. And if you're witnessing to this, and then I'd like to pray a prayer from as an I, and I'd encourage you, if you want to make my prayer yours, then do that. Maybe you want to reach out with your arms open, Lord, come and fill me, and then we'll pray this prayer, and then I just invite you down. I just sense God's wanting to touch people, the Spirit. Father God, I want to know you as Father. And I realize I can only do that when I live as your son, as your daughter. Thank you that you have given me the right to become your child. I want to live as your son and daughter and become that child this morning. And I believe in you, Jesus. I believe who you are and what you've done on the cross for me. And I welcome you into my life. Come and fill me. Breathe your Spirit into me afresh this morning. Bring a fresh revelation of your Father, of my Father, to me. And help me to live as your child. Bring fresh revelation of it. Amen. Amen. The team's just gonna minister to us in song. I just encourage you to, you might like to stand and arms open wide, just allowing the Spirit to fill you. You may like to sit and just reflect on things. And for others, I just invite you, enough of you just wanting prayer. I just sense God's wanting to anoint, to release, to reposition people in the spirit of sonship. Say, what do you mean Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that adopts you and brings you into the family of God. There's a repositioning going on. You've been trying, 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 and God's saying, I want you, my son. want you as my son. I want you as my son. I want to bless you. Oh, and it only happens when you're secure in who you are as a son, as my son. If you'd like prayer, I just invite you to come and pray for people. Thanks, Matt.